Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
Emergency, emergency, emergency podcast, podcast, emergency podcast, podcast. Woo! Breaking news, breaking news. Complex release there. I still don't know the name of the list.
Hip Hop Media Power Ranking.
Complex release their 2025 second installment of the Hip Hop.
Third
installment of the Hip Hop Media Power Ranking. And I am here with the face of Complex.
All right.
And the man that developed it was his idea 3 years ago. He was eating a Chipotle bowl.
It was not my idea.
At Grand Central, waiting to get on
Fake
the C
news.
Train to head somewhere. I don't even know. Down to World Trade. Who knows what he was doing down there? And he said, hey, what if we ranked everybody in media so they would all understand how important or not important they are and how much we care about them with no bias whatsoever involved? So we're 3 years in, and here we are.
Jordan, what an intro.
Jordan is back. If you watched my last episode, episode 27, Jordan and I talked heavy in the music scene. I said it once, I'll say it again. One of my good friends in this industry, one of the few people's opinions I respect on music and just all things culture, especially pertaining to hip hop. Just an overall good dude. So yeah, 2025 Hip Hop Media Power Rankings. Talk us through it.
Hot off the presses, fresh out. Yeah, man, 2025 Hip Hop Media Power Ranking. This is an idea that some people on the team came up with 3 years ago. This is the third iteration, I believe. Not the fourth. And I think a lot of people get confused
with this
list because they think that we're ranking these personalities on the quality of their content.
Okay.
That is not what this list is. If you read the intro, which I know nobody reads no more.
I don't know how to read.
We don't got to read the intro right now. Okay. But the premise of the list is power, hence like whose platforms hold the most power and influence in the rap media landscape currently. It's like a snapshot of the last calendar year since the previous one dropped. But it's a snapshot of whose platform do artists want to most go on to that could impact their project the most, whose platform, if they were to critique a project, it could legitimately impact it, and whose platform that if they were to say something, it would be cited and reported as news.
So emphasis on the word power.
Power ranking. It's not like the best. It's not the hottest. That's why we were intentional with calling it a power ranking and not just the 2025 hip hop media list or best.
So if we're talking power in hip hop, then why isn't Brian Steele, Diddy's lawyer, number one?
Because he's not a...
That's a mover and a shaker.
He is not a media
personality. You got Thug. And go to his Instagram. He drips out. He's got
good point. Yeah. If he started streaming, he might crack this list. If he started reporting on hip hop news and giving commentary,
if you free Diddy, you deserve to be at least top five.
Listen,
not saying you should be freed, but that's a
hill
to climb, and he succeeded the mountain.
So 25. Yeah, man.
So okay, talk us through the. You're one of the voting members.
Yes.
Use the mic.
Yes,
you
yes,
do this
yes,
for a living.
Yes, yes, yes.
How many people are on that committee?
Well, it's not like a committee per se. It's the music team. That's the first, that's who takes the first crack at it.
Okay.
It's four of us total. We kind of look at the list that we had last year, put a whole bunch of names below it of people who weren't on it last year, who we think we should consider for this year's list. And then from there, just deliberate, start picking at each other's arguments of why we think this person should be there. This person should be on it still. This person should be off it. And ultimately it's a group vote between the music team and then also some other members of the content team who are a little higher up that join the conversation. So I'd say all in all, around eight or nine, I think people in total are voting. But it's a conversation. It obviously has to be unanimous to get somebody.
Talk us through that. How far out from the list came out to today? We're recording the day the list came out and about an hour after it released.
Mm-hmm.
Until you said when you walked in here, we finalized it this morning.
Yeah.
So how long is the process? Did it start 2 weeks out, a month out, 2 months out?
I want to say like conversations. I mean, conversations are ongoing because obviously we're consuming hip hop. We're in hip hop media. We know what's moving and shaking. So like whenever like people are starting to raise in notoriety, raise in power, we're just like making note of it. But like starting to meet about the list probably starts in this year, started in like May, early June, just kind of preliminary, like, okay, let's put the, get the names together. Let's just start in our small group first, like talking through everything before we present it to the larger group. And then from there, yeah, it's
when, like, do you take it to the larger group? How like refined does it need to be before you welcome in the other people?
We try to have it as like lined up as we as like our team of like four or five on the music team, yeah, having a, like, we come to a agreement of, okay, we like where everything is. We bring it to a larger group because they're really good at picking up, you know, poking holes in where they think certain people should be, where certain people shouldn't be. Also, like, everyone consumes different platforms and different people. Yeah. So it's really helpful to have those different perspectives of like, oh, you know, I don't really watch so-and-so as much as the next person, but they're able to kind of give a more well-rounded opinion on why they should be or shouldn't be on the list. And that kind of helps us round it out. It's a lot of back and forth, but like I said, at the end of the day, it comes, we all then agree on where everything is at when we finally hit publish. So
that's exciting. So in terms of writing the blurbs as well, like, how is that delineated?
I mean, we just pick, like, I think, you know, people pick who they want to write about. And then we also like give it to a few freelancers who we bring on to write about these people. And the thing about the blurbs, which I, again, please read the list. I know that when this shit comes out and it goes viral, it's just going to be the names.
Yeah, the photos.
Yeah, the photos and the names, and no one go. Everyone just sees the Fear Buck tweet, the academics post. They don't go to the actual piece. I please would compel you to go to the piece, because these blurbs, like, we take our time to write them and explain, not like, these aren't just biographies on who these people are. Obviously, everyone who's clicking in knows who these people are. The blurbs are the explanation of why they are in the place they are this year, especially if they were on the list last year and if they moved up or down. It's the explanation of what happened in the last calendar year that places them where they are on the list. So,
got you. So just from a glancing at it, I notice a more streaming heavy.
Yes. Yes.
Power players. Most notably, I mean, the biggest jump was Plaqueboy Max.
Yeah.
From, he wasn't on the list last year to jumping all the way to number four.
Facts.
And I know you previously had mentioned that this was someone that you were championing.
Yeah. I wrote up that blurb about him. Jersey guy, streamer. He's just, the thing that I really liked and like the team liked about Max is that his In the Booth series, where he produces and engineers songs with artists live on stream, it was just so different from what was happening in streaming and music previously. And the songs that he would make with these up and coming artists would actually be breaking through. Like, he would make songs with Baby Chief, Do It, Nino Paid. He went out, had a whole UK run, did a UK EP with Skepta, made a joint with Central C, Fred Again. Like, these songs weren't just like play stream songs. Like, these songs,
yeah, they weren't cutesy. These were like you know,
legitimate
out there.
Like legitimate songs that did streaming numbers. So it's like, for him to be able to do that as a streamer, have his, like, make music, have his opinion on music, and have the platform where massive artists like a Central C, like a Skepta, like a Fred Again, like, you know, even like USB is like, he had 2 Chainz on. Just like to have that power where people want to go on this stream and collaborate with you is, you know, a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't on the list last year because, you know, I think the In the Booth series was a thing. It's been a thing for a few years now, but it was like bubbling. This really felt like his breakout year. I mean, he dropped a project of his own this year that, you know, that didn't really play a part in it, but he just, this was his breakout year, and he did stop streaming for a few months, which is why, honestly, he's not higher on the list, to be honest. He could, like, I say in the blurb, he could definitely, I predict, clip this in the next year or two, be, like, fighting with Kai for the number one spot. I promise you that. Like, Plaqueboy Max, he's that guy. And the kids who, again, I think we have to remember who's consuming all of this content. Yeah. Like, his, the audience he commands is serious. You know, like, you see him on the timeline, even if you don't follow it. You see his clip.
That's always my litmus test for, because I don't, truthfully, I don't follow a lot of the media pundits, nor especially the streamers. But if you're saturated on my timeline, whether it be the meme pages or just like a viral video on the Explore page, I'm like, this is, there's motion here that even though I'm like a, you know, aware, more acutely aware than others of like what's going on in the industry. If I see someone's face that I don't know constantly pop up, I'm like, oh, they're like doing something.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's a really important point. It's like, I don't also follow a lot of these people on their personal pages, but if I see their clips, like I've never watched a full stream from a streamer.
No, God, no. I don't even know how to do that.
But I see Max's clips all the time.
You know when I knew Plaqueboy Max was real? When he did the show at the one you went to. At
Brooklyn Paramount. Paramount.
Amazing venue with Fred again and Skepta. Mm-hmm. And he was there for the song. They had a moment on stage. And like the white girls that I know that go to like the Hamptons every weekend or like are gallivanting in Tulum during COVID. Yeah. Like they're not only posting, like filming the thing, obviously, because they're all on stage, but they're actually adding Plaqueboy. I'm like, oh, they know who he, like, they know who he is. Like the white girl from like, you know, Connecticut or like rural Texas knows him. So like that's, you know, they're not like a black guy. They actually are adding this motherfucker. And like, we know him.
He's broken through. Like he's fully broken through. So that's why he's definitely earned a spot in the top five. And yet he is number four on our list.
Let's go down. Well, we can bounce around after this, but we have to go in order to number three. This year is Joe, which is internally, because like you said, this came down to this morning. How did the New York Times piece, very in-depth, detailed piece about how he's ranking in about annually 20 million, did that almost influence his rank on this list at all? Or did you guys have him locked in at three? Because I will validate, to defend Jordan, he was at three before that came out.
Yeah.
When we first spoke about this list, the same day we shot the episode 27, he said Joe was there and he seemed to stay there. I thought maybe you guys would be like, maybe we should make him two.
Nah, bro. Joe was locked in at three, which I think, like, the $20 million New York Times piece, like,
it's New York Times,
that was impressive. But I think that the kind of like top five, like it was just really locked in. And yeah, like a lot of the deliberation on kind of like the latter half of the list was still in flux a little bit up until like the final hour. But I think, it's impressive. Like I obviously wouldn't downplay that at all, but I think three is still fair. He was what, like two last year?
Right? He was two last year.
Yeah. So he fell down a spot, but like, in a video I'm making that probably be out by the time this is out, I said, the top five just shuffled essentially outside of Max, like, Ak, Joe, Charlemagne, they kind of just shuffled in the top five because like we collectively thought that they all are still kind of the most powerful. But yeah, I mean, it's impressive. Like, I don't know if our opinions would be completely different if like that news came out a month ago. I don't know. I couldn't tell you if that would have like really swayed the opinion, because I think it was always just like with the top three, it's always just like splitting hairs of like, one or like two, three, four, like those spots like are always splitting hairs. I think we're like, it's rare we're unanimous in decisions when it comes to this list, but I think we were unanimous in the Kai one spot, so I don't think that would have been, that was like unshakable.
Well, I wouldn't have challenged Kai. My thought was at least leapfrogging Ak, which we can get to in a minute. That was kind of where I was thinking, because I know like Joe, to me, I know podcasting in the ever-changing landscape of media, podcasting has become like archaic, even though it's, you know, it's a new media. He's an independent, you know, business. He contracts people, but he is new media. He's not legacy media, but he's been doing the show for, I mean, it's a long time, years and years and years and years. And I know he treats it a little differently because of how much money he puts behind the paywall and he does like the Patreon thing. Mm-hmm. But I think Joe, at least in this list, is like the bastion, like the last hope of like old media, in quotes.
Yeah.
Young old media. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at Ak is far more into streaming, and obviously Kai is Kai, Plaqueboy at four. Like he's surrounded by the next wave of what media is.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, and we were talking about this in like one of our group chats. I, to Joe's credit, as much as I ride for Max and I ride for like these kids who are like kind of setting a different, who are just moving things in a different direction, Joe is living proof that you would still rather have it parasocial unks than parasocial kids follow you. Because the parasocial unks have jobs and the parasocial high schoolers don't. So the unks that...
The Patreon makes sense for them.
They
can afford that.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Joe's audience and his demo have jobs. So yeah. They're able to pay that monthly, weekly, whatever the amount is for the Patreon to help elevate him to that status of bread. Like, you know, streaming definitely pays, but I think that it's a that number is a testament to the 20 million is a testament to the audience, the loyalty of his audience.
That, you know, 30s, I mean? Into their 40s.
Yeah, like
that older,
listening to it when they're like driving home from work, when they're dropping their kids off at summer camp, like when they have a little bit of free time after mowing the lawn. Yeah. And I'm not trying to age this whole demo, but like
when they're leaving divorce court.
I'm not trying to age Joe's whole demo, but it's like the audience that you see on his, you know, in his community Twitter page and shit that like have been there since the before times, when, you know, knowing how the cast swap in and out and just like,
yeah,
being through it all. So, you know, a testament to him building something that lasts in a space that is changing constantly.
Not on the list, but I saw mentioned in the blurb here. I think like Mark Lamont Hill's edition is great in terms of like giving them some semblance of legitimacy with like a political social opinion like something just remotely educational. Not to knock anybody else. They're very well spoken in the things that they know, but his addition adds a leg of that show that was always missing.
Yeah, no, it changes the entire complexion to me. Because like I felt like they were going down a path where it was becoming increasingly harder to watch, because it felt like when someone didn't agree with an opinion, they would kind of just start to posture and like act like they were too good to art, like to give their side, or that everyone was just kind of like fronting and capping. And I love how Mark, when he has a take, he has actual like backing behind it.
Yeah,
he has sourcing, he has reason. He's not just saying shit because that's how he feels. He does this
A living. Yeah, I mean, so I had the first time ever speaking with him was on a Spaces with Joe, actually, and we corresponded a little bit over the Middle Eastern genocide. But it was my first time talking to him, and it was really great. And we, you know, offline and things, but he's just like, I just love that someone like that is stepping into that space in a more like, you know, full-time capacity.
Yeah, great addition. And I think it really makes the entire cast more well-rounded and challenges them to think differently about certain topics rather than just brushing by it. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're stamped.
In someone that has nothing to offer educationally, academics is number two.
Yes.
I have nothing nice to say about him. So why is he there?
Listen, I always, like I said at the beginning, this is meant to be a snapshot of the current hip hop media landscape. You know, whether we like it or not, a big.
Oh, I understand his impact. I'm not saying you shouldn't be on the list.
No, 100%. A big piece of this, and like, you know, the challenge of doing it every year is like taking personal bias as much out of it as we can, in the sense of objectively looking at whose clips are we seeing, who's like, you know, if they said something, would we report it like it's news?
Sure.
And for better or for worse, when Ack reports on Drake, when Ack reports on an inside source that he does probably have about you know, anything, you at least give it the benefit of the doubt of listening to it.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
Like, even like, you know, I remember I made a video about when Nicki was going ballistic on SZA, which we talked about during the other episode.
They certainly had a little few more knocks after that. Yeah.
And Ack went on stream and gave even more context to a back and forth he had with Punch and Dave Free and Anthony Sale that was at this Kendrick show, and giving more color behind how Drake's team and Kendrick's team were using him as a vehicle to kind of like, they would talk to him about things that would happen during the beef, like, damn, like, why were you doing this, why are you reporting on this, why would you report on this that Drake was saying, why would you report on this that Kendrick is saying, and never actually communicate between each other.
Yeah,
and that's a level of
That wouldn't have been known otherwise.
That's a level of sourcing that most people in this space don't have, and you just have to like, again, taking your personal opinions on him out of it, give him, and acknowledge the power that he has.
Sure, yeah.
And that's why he's number two, and that's why he was number one last year. you know, because
you mentioned when we first spoke about this, that he did a lot of heavy lifting on the Diddy trial. Is that why he's
ooh, good point? Yeah, he that too, because in the Diddy trial, where a lot of people in our industry did not want to talk about it because because they were probably complicit. That's the quiet part. A lot of people didn't want to talk about it because they were probably complicit. A lot of
slippery hands.
They were afraid of getting a subpoena. But I mean, that aside, because they just because of all the relationships that that person was attached to, I think you can there can be critique on how he was covering it, but he was covering it, and if nothing else, kids were staying up to date on it because of him.
Because of him,
you know, like we were talking about, you know, how streaming has encroached on traditional media. There's been a lot of great reporting on the Diddy case editorially. Like, I'm not going to take away from the writers.
Well, it's a serious case.
Yeah, of course. Like, there's a lot. I have a lot of music journalist friends who were front lines. We had our own reporter in the courtroom every single day. So that's taking nothing away from them. But a lot of the kids and a lot of just like the general public consume the rap media via video. Mm. And when he's streaming every other day, reporting on it live for you to just watch and consume it that way, that's how a lot of people were consuming it. And so, and a lot of other people on this list were not reporting on it in the same way. So that's why that was also a big reason why he got bumped up to why he's still in the top.
Got it. So yeah, to complete the shuffle of the top three, Kai is number one. He was number three last year.
Yes.
Is this, I think it's like at this point a unanimous, we don't obviously don't have to get into like,
of course.
I think all that goes without saying, but I did want to mention you, when we were finished talking about Plaque Boy, you said, I wouldn't be surprised in if 3 or 4 years time, he's number one. Mm-hmm. What do you think would knock Kai off that spot?
Like, I think it would just be, it wouldn't be him falling off. It would be people like Max just elevating to a level that could compete with him. Because the thing about Kai is he holds a really, really powerful platform. But he said even recently that he doesn't consider himself a music critic, right? He comments on music and he gives reviews because like any black kid from New York in the culture, like he loves hip hop, he loves music, and he has this platform where he would be talking about it regardless. Mm. And so now I feel like he's kind of been thrust slightly into this position of feeling like, oh, like, let me give a little rating. Like, let me give a numbered review. But it's not like he's considering himself a serious music critic. Like,
that's not like his, Fantano, yeah, that's know? Not his, like,
that's not his lane.
His lane, yeah.
But he still is doing that on the most powerful platform in hip hop media. And the reason he wasn't number one in years past, because I was pretty sure him to be number one like last year, but the reason he wasn't was because he wasn't giving his opinion.
He's too neutral.
Yeah, he was having rappers on stream. Obviously, every rapper and their mama wanted to go on the stream because of how many people he has watching him, but he wasn't saying anything of value about the music. He was just, everything's fire, very neutral take. So I give him credit for, despite having this massive platform, and despite having all of these relationships, these personal relationships with artists, he still keeps it a bean. Like, the Lil Baby review was like a really, I think, pivotal moment for him.
Isn't he mad at him, baby?
Well, no, I'm not sure what their personal relationship is, but despite having a friendship with Baby, he still kept it a stack about not liking the album. And that's real, because a lot of people, even on the journalist side, really won't keep it a stack about certain artists because of a personal relationship they have.
Never.
So that deserves credit and props that he, with that type of size and platform and relationships, it's still keeping it a stack somewhat. You know what I mean? So I give him credit for that.
I do too. We can skip. I mean, it's Charlamagne at the 5, Vlad at the 6, Nardwuar at the 7, Fantano at the 8. I mean, what was he? I was going to say, talk about someone that's just consistent. He was 8 last year.
Yeah.
He's 8 this year.
Yeah.
I like people like him and Nardwuar that just, there's something so not easy. Easy is not the right word, but when you've defined what the thing is that you do, mm-hmm. and you know it's basically when you develop the theme or the formula and you know that like in Fantano's case, it's not so much about, I'm trying to think of how to word this. The excitement and need for his review comes with the weight of the album that's coming out.
Yeah.
So it's like Bieber is putting out an album. obviously, because of who Bieber is, his video is going to get a shit ton of views because of the weight in which Bieber holds in the music community. I think that's dope that, like, he's good because he's established himself as legit, but he can critique every album. But when a fucking heavyweight titan drops, they're going to run to him to see the review. And it's like, it's just such a beautiful way to operate. And Nardwuar as well. Everyone just loves Nardwuar.
Yeah, nah, Fantano, to his credit, is like one of the last true independent music critics out where his rating, his personal rating matters. Like, he, like today, or it was today or yesterday, he dropped his numbered review of the new Tyler, the Creator album. I think he gave it like an 8. And
he did?
Yeah, which exactly. Yeah. Here's the crazy part. Like, I just did an interview with an artist who I won't name because I don't know when that interview is going to come out. I'll tell you off camera. But I did this interview with this artist and we were talking about the evolving hip hop media landscape. And he was saying how a lot of kids, and he was upset about this, which I think values so, but like a lot of kids will get their opinion on music based on the media figures that they follow and respect.
Yeah.
So it's like Fantano giving Tyler's album an 8 has legitimate power to sway somebody's opinion if they respect him and they respect his reviews.
Yeah.
So it's like, that is a testament in of itself of how much power he holds, where it's like, if you're in the middle about something and he says it's great, you will give it the benefit of the doubt and be like,
It grew on me.
Exactly.
That's when the "it grew on me" jumps in.
You know, which could be
crazy. I have so many texts of you saying it was mid and you didn't like it. Which
definitely is it one part because you're a sheep, and the second part though because of how respected his opinion is.
Yeah. So. He what do you think of that Tyler album? Just a sidebar, real quick.
Wasn't for me. Well, it was produced well, but like it just like I don't know, bro. Like I didn't need it.
I think that's just like I think for someone that leans so heavy into like themes and the rollout process, like this lazy is not the right word because he very much has he created a character, which he always does. Mm-hmm. It's very color coordinated. Like he has that whole aesthetic thing that he developed, but it plays to me like a mixtape. He dropped year after Chromacopia. He dropped it in the middle of a world tour. Like it just seemed like this was like a fun moment that he wanted to get out during the summer.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if next year he drops one to the scale into the musicality of his previous
work.
That's kind of what I don't hate it though. I sound like I'm fucking trashing it. I don't hate it, but it's not Flower Boy, it's not Igor, it's not Chromago. I know I shouldn't be like, you don't compare him to the other. It's impossible to not hold you to your own standard. Yeah, I've seen what you've done. I expect, that's the bar that you've set for yourself, which is a very, very high bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he should have just called it a mixtape, but whatever you want to call an album, his 9th studio album, stamp it.
I worked out too. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, he says it's meant to be. I haven't ran to it yet. I haven't, like, actually done an exercise to it, which is what he said you should be doing to it. So maybe I'll give it a listen then and see how I feel about it.
Yeah, the morning it came out, it came out at 6 a.m. Eastern. I was at the gym at, like, 8, 8:30. So I was, like, fresh off the wake up, and I just, like, threw it on. I was like, oh, this is, I get it. Like, it works there in that setting. But, like, I'm not, if you're chilling, it's not something you put on, but that's not the point. The whole point, literally the fucking first line is like, get up and dance. That's the whole, anyway, number 9.
Yes, sir.
Turn the 6 upside down. 9.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. 9, certainly by way of Drake. This Rory and Maul are at 9. When I was there, we were 13. So clearly I'm the problem. They got rid of they chopped off the tumor. They removed the cancer. And everyone goes home happy. And I'm looking for another teat to suckle on.
Yes.
Clip it. and by clip it, I mean I'll clip it because I'm
crazy. Crazy as hell.
No, I mean, this is before you do your I think this is what happens when you sign with a real production company that takes your content seriously. Mm-hmm. Volume has done a very good thing for them that neither Sirius nor Studio 71 were able to do for them. Because I lived it. And the deal with Sirius was like, that was just done quick. Everyone was ready to get out of that. And then the Studio 71 thing was equally like, this isn't working. We need to get out of this. But even when they were in it, it's not like either of those production companies offered anything to enhance the quality of the show. Mm-hmm. But volume, when I was still there, I mean, during negotiations and all that stuff, I was hearing, you know, what they wanted to do. Add an extra day of recording a week, which would introduce this new show segment where they're talking about sports and like creating more content, which would obviously lead to them having more opportunities to create more viral moments and have more things happen. Like, I think the show itself has gone on, you know, with Rory, Maul, and Damaris. Like, that's mm-hmm. fine. That's always been on autopilot. But what's changed has made the actual content better because they're getting talent by way of the production deal mm-hmm. and they're putting out content with people like they got that Joy Taylor, like people like that mm-hmm. when like they're hot, they'll go out and get them and put them on that couch and they'll have a moment with them.
Well, that's interesting context because obviously I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, I gotta love the weeds of it. Yeah. I know in your instance, that's not what you guys cared about at all. It's all about like Maul's relationship with Drake, which led to like, you know, some bigger moments.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, yeah, to their credit, a lot of it was definitely Maul's relationship with Drake and them leveraging that for content, which I think is very smart. Like, the beef is done. The stimulus package is like, I would say that the Drake Kendrick beef stimulus package is subsided for the most part for most people. But it's like they were able. I mean, I think that like talking Drake versus Kendrick has kind of like died off relative to where it was a year ago. But.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, obviously the Drake just talking about the biggest artists in the game will always generate content.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And when you have an inside source to that, like how Maul has kind of been, that's what really elevates you up those few spots. And also just like, you know, shout out to Maris. Like, I think they've been able to create news and moments by themselves, not necessarily always related to like a beef. And you know, the head Maul debate moment was something that we highlighted also as like being a thing that was a thing. You know what I mean?
That in itself was news.
And exactly. They were able to create. It's all about creating moments.
Sure.
When you're like that top 10 pedigree. And so they were, that's kind of what elevated them out of the 13th spot into the top 10.
Cause I think you're right. I think there's an art to this is something I've always said about like pages that just react. You don't want to be a reactionary. You mm-hmm. want to be someone that's actually in like in Joe's kit, like you want to be someone that creates the news cycle, mm-hmm. someone that other people are talking about, not this happens and then you talk. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the person that's reacting to everything else that's going on around you. You want Facts. People to be talking about you and your situation. So yeah, I mean that's cool.
Listen, they're there.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? I respect you for
talking. You wrote the blurb for them.
I did. I have to stay consistent. I wrote it last year. I got to write it this year.
Yeah, yeah. It was all peace and high fives last year. I'm not to shit on anybody from the 10. I mean, Gillian Wallow were at 10. Nori at 11. Ebro, 12. Who's Traplore Ross?
So he's like,
he's at 13.
He is
20 last year.
A figure who does a lot of hip hop criminal reporting. He does like really long video essays about rap court cases and
in like a Vlad way or just
like a true crime way.
Oh, okay.
And his videos do, you know, very high numbers. And he is, again, this is a snapshot, right? So he reflects a specific corner of hip hop media. That's not like, he's not like interviewing artists. He's not like,
he's not talking about music. He's talking purely
true crime, which is like, you know, I definitely think
true crime Streets of LA. Do you remember that video game?
No.
I'm too young for that.
Anyway, yeah. I think that people can validly feel a way about the content he produces. But again, it speaks more to however you feel about the landscape, that those videos that are probably exploitative as fuck still.
Well, is he like snitch? Is there what people say with Vlad, the thing is always like, people are always incriminating themselves. He knows that he's setting them up. Does he do that? Or is he just speaking to facts of what's the case of the matter? Does he have artists on? I don't know.
No. It's the latter. He's speaking to the facts that are out there. He's kind of putting breadcrumbs together. It's just, you know, it's, I understand it rubbing people the wrong way because also how he looks, like, you know, he looks like Harry Potter. So
certainly does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you know, you just said like,
also that name is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Like you just looking up, you saying who's Trap Floor Ross shows he's reflective of a specific corner of hip hop media. You know what I mean? So I could definitely see people like turning their heads to him being number 13, but like the numbers show that people are engaging with it, even if, you know, you or I don't engage with those people.
Yeah, I mean, well, nearly 1.5 million subs on YouTube, so.
Yeah, so, like, you know.
The there's no shortage there of hip-hop murders, we know that, or crime. This is, I think, most exciting. Shannon Sharp from Not On The List to 14. I mean, Club Shay Shay is a fucking
juggernaut, man.
Yeah, and he survived a scandal of his own.
Somewhat.
This year, where did they land on that?
I think he just paid her off. Like, yeah. I think that's where it ended up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, Unk, bro.
He's like, give this bitch an envelope. All right, skill. Skill.
Chill. Unk, you know, Unk definitely gets the guests. He has the platform. He is still. I think this year he transitioned from being just sports and pop culture to like having artists on and having. Obviously, like, it's easy for him to generate news.
Yeah.
Easy. And before, it was just more though, so, like, the Cat Williams, just pop culture comedian, athlete news. But now, like, even, you know, back, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, we did, or it was last year, the sports team did a sports media power ranking after we did ours.
Oh, he made both?
No. He didn't make ours because he was number one on theirs.
Oh, you couldn't?
I mean, we could have, but also I don't think that at that point in time he was really in the music scene like that.
Okay,
fair. This year he's definitely kind of transitioned into the music scene more. And he's, yeah, he could have maybe even gone higher if he did more music things and was more balanced. Because he still does a lot of like pop culture stuff.
Sure.
But his music moments are large, so that's why he's here.
He, damn, I don't even remember what I was going to say about him. I just blanked. I like Shannon, though. I think he makes great content. This is what I was going to ask. Unk off. Shannon, who are the great Unks of hip-hop? I'm trying to think off the top of my mind. Shannon versus Joe. Let's start there.
I mean, obviously in terms of hip-hop, Joe has cleared him,
but like in like the greater Unk sphere,
the greater, like, who's more Unk?
Yeah. Who's more Unk?
Oh, probably Joe, because Shannon still be outside clearly, so
really?
like I mean, in the sense of like Shannon's still like Shannon, like, we obviously, like, he give Unk, like, we call him Unk, everything.
What do you mean he's outside? Because he got caught?
No. Because
Joe just got caught?
Yes, all right. No. I'm
dick
saying,
out, run around your building.
I'm saying more because, like, Shannon, I feel like, moves like a young cat in some senses. Not necessarily with that specific situation, but just, like, even,
okay,
you know, trying to maintain his youth. And Joe, I feel like, has fully embraced his Unk status, like, besides going to strip clubs a lot, which maybe that is also part of Unk status. I don't know. I'm not an Unk.
Yeah. I got some tendencies. We could skip Joe and Jada. Wait, not skip, but when did they start their show?
Recently.
I was going to say, is that new? I was like, am I that far out the loop? But
nah, it was like, I want to say like it was like a few months ago. Obviously, again, a new inclusion, but they benefit heavily from the Jim Jones shit. They kicked off Jim Jones's Fuck Nas rollout. Which became obviously a big thing. And also, you know, it's a cheat code when you put two popular rappers together on a podcast. But to their credit, they also have great chemistry and synergy. And I see that podcast getting to a Drink Champs level.
Sure.
If they can continue it at the clip that they're doing it at. So.
Yeah. Mall's Kryptonite, DJ Head.
Yes.
Was not on the list last year.
Might have been an oversight by us, I will admit.
Should have been on the list last year.
Probably should have been on the list last year. Shout out to Head.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think this is the thing with someone like with DJ Head, and I love how he's a great guy, but how much of his spot in ranking, I guess much similar to Maul, is like when the flame dies on those moments, when the Kendrick and Drake, like, where does that look without the boost from that relationship?
Well, look, one thing I'll give Head is he's super smart. And it's not even like he did this on purpose. He's organically and naturally positioned this way. He is a West Coast pillar, right?
Yeah.
And especially even in, like, you have mad West Coast pillars. Big Boy is obviously massive. But Head positioned himself with the Kendrick and Drake thing. So that kind of elevated him to a level that people outside of his regional scope started to tap in.
Sure.
And now that things are feeling like becoming even more kind of like East Coast West, because you had the Joey beef. You had like more like attention from at least like New York centric outlets like us to the West Coast and things going on. Head is the spokesperson. Head is kind of like the figurehead, no pun intended, for West Coast hip hop media discourse. And you tap into him when the Joey versus Ray Vaughn and the entire West Coast thing is happening. You tap in with him when Kendrick is on tour. You tap in with him when Tyler drops an album, because Tyler's West Coast. So he is reporting for, and he also has a lot of inside sources with these massive artists on the West Coast.
Sure, yeah.
So he's a trusted source for the West Coast, and that elevates him. And plus, obviously, this year was the first like full calendar year where his show with Elliot and Jeremy Heck, The Bigger Picture, really took off, because it got kicked off during the beef. So when we dropped the list, that show was just starting, and now it's had like a full year to kind of grow into what it is, and it's still growing. But I think also having a show outside of his West Coast podcast, and shout out to Gina Views, outside of that,
I fuck with Gina.
Yeah, Gina.
Every clip shit that they do, like she's very good.
Gina is the shit. She's very big good. Shout out to Gina Views
and Jeremy. Jeremy's dope. He came up to me at Dreamville, and I gotta connect with that. When he's in New York, he wants to come sit down. But I like Jeremy too. They're a great cast. Like, that's a great crew to
and
have.
Like, yeah, and Gina and Jeremy both also still bubbling and like on the come up, and definitely probably could earn a spot like next year for sure. Yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of why Head got on the list, and then, you know, right below him, your boy. Salute to Worldwide Wet Wilson.
Nah. Keep it. Nope. We're not changing the energy on that one. My man was 5 last year. He's down to 17.
Yes.
He's falling faster than Trump's approval rating.
YN. Listen.
What's happening?
Listen.
This is Elliot. If you're watching this, this is all Jordan's fault.
Salute to Elliot. Nah, listen, bro. It was like, okay. Yeah, he was at 5 and he slid down to 17.
That's a big fall. That's the biggest fall, right?
I think. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's like out of everyone on the list, probably. But like, he said it himself, he was crashing out a lot.
Sure.
And the crash outs were not becoming. And, you know, some things were out of his control. He lost his Instagram recently. But it was just kind of felt like he had a scorching hot previous year. But he's kind of like taking a back seat a little bit to Head. Head is obviously one spot above him.
Yeah.
The field got increasingly more competitive. And salute to him for being in the game for as long as he has been. You know, he's like working LeBron numbers. So I still, you know, you still tip your hat to the OGs. But yeah, the field is getting increasingly more competitive, man. And we felt like Elliot slid a little bit. He's still on the list. He didn't fall off the list completely. A few people fell off the list completely. So he didn't say he fell off, but completely. But, you know, that just
to go from 5 to nothing is,
use it as fire to light up under you. You know what I mean? If you care about this list, which people clearly do, and we spend a lot of time putting this list together, you don't agree with it, prove us wrong. You know what I mean?
I hear that. DDG is number 18. We can jump over him. No, I mean, congrats. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Yeah. Nadeska, I want to talk about Nadeska because she brings up a question that a lot of people have when it comes to this complex list, is the bias that may be involved when it comes to selecting former or current complex hosts and personalities. Obviously, Speedy's not on this list.
Yeah.
I think that's smart by you guys to be like, we'll throw the sun off the trail by removing Speedy.
Listen, Speedy, because he's a current employee, and like, you know, I'm gonna keep it a stack with you. Like,
I know.
Like, there's truly no, Nadeska is great on her own.
She's
like,
fantastic. And know, I'm speaking for the greater internet. This isn't my opinion.
I know.
It is when someone sees, it's like when people, Rory always used to make fun of the iHeartRadio Music Awards, and every year Charlamagne would win every award. It's like, well, no shit, he's an iHeart employee.
Yeah, I know. For the contrarians on the TL, dead ass, yes, Nadeska used to work for Complex for many years. That was a long time ago. And B,
they're alumni, they're, come on.
Yeah, still alumni, yeah. Still love her to death. She just interviewed Kendrick, like, you know, say what you want about whether that, because it was the Apple Music Connect, whatever. Like, she has a show on Apple Music. She has 2 shows on Apple Music. She was like the only person to interview Kendrick Lamar after the biggest rap beef in music history. That deserves props and credit. And she's also just a great journalist. And we do it's dope when we're able to have great traditional journalists on this list, because like I said many times in this video, this is a snapshot of the current landscape. And the current landscape, the traditional journalists, it's, we got to fight. You know, you have to be able to do so many different things now to be a journalist that holds power, or power in a, I guess, traditional sense of people clicking in on your shit. So for her to still be true to the written word and be true to real journalistic ethics is dope. Yeah,
she has, that's what I've always loved about her. And Jinx as well. Mm-hmm. Shout out Jinx. Like they were both, you could tell there's like a level of like decorum or like training, or like, you know, they're treated as an art form. Mm-hmm. Like you, I think you, I mean, didn't you study this shit? You went to college for this shit? So like, I think when you really go through, when you take courses on this stuff and you treat journalism as it's intended to be, I'm not questioning Nadeska's place at all. She's in a fucking amazing journalist. So it's good to see her. One of what? Two women?
Yeah.
Angela Yee, we can go. Big Boy was at 19. Bootleg Kev at 20. Angela Yee's at 21. How, here's a general question. How can more women make this list?
I think.
Pay them more.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying WNBA taglines. Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I think that.
Angel Reese starts a pod.
No. Well, shit, who knows? Shannon's on the list. But I mean, look, it's like, you know, it's the rap media as a whole is very male dominant. We talked about Gina. There's like definitely women who are great at what they do. It's just, I think a lot of them aren't getting platformed how they should.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Annabeth Klein, super fire, super dope on the independent side, like pushing really small artists to big artists. There's this one girl whose name is escaping me. Oh my God. And it's got, she interviewed Smino. She interviewed, she follows me on Twitter. Damn. I can't remember her name.
Fine. But I guess my thing is like, I'd hate to pigeonhole women and be like, only talk about female artists. Mm-hmm. But I think if any women that's a journalist is out there, and I know you don't want to like box yourself in, maybe that's why no one's done it, I think there's an opportunity for a female journalist to become the go-to for all things female rap. Mm-hmm. And really be the home for where all the women artists, not just rappers, but also like entertainers, whatever, mm-hmm. go to their platform and speak only to them, like offer those exclusive moments only to them. Yeah. And like give a woman and a woman's tone, a woman's voice, someone that probably can speak more to what you're going through, like the ability to own that type of content. That's, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet.
And I'm scrolling Tyler's TL because he quote tweeted her, and I'm going to find her name because I'm not about to just say all that and not say her name. That would be crazy.
Say her name.
Not too fucking much.
While you're doing that, who the fuck is Arshan Jawad? Oh, Kids Takeover. Damn, I shouldn't have said that. I know. I never knew that was his name.
Yeah. LC. You probably seen her.
You, yes, I have.
Yes,
she's dope.
Elsie is
dope.
Fire. She's super dope and on the come up. Big shout out to Elsie. But yeah, so there's definitely women killing it. Arshan, yeah, he. Again, we try.
Canadian.
Shout out to
Canada.
To the syrup.
They got better hip hop media than they do in America. Drake said that. On tour, he said, "You know what? It's not just artists. It's also media."
LOL.
You said the Chicken Shack bitch is better than...
She's British.
Same thing.
Anyway. Arshan, he does Kids Takeover, which you know his platform.
Fire.
He's growing as a name because he obviously does all the interviews with the artists. Reflective of that underground space interviewing. Yeah. Like he did like a super viral interview with Lucky recently, the Chicago rapper. And he's doing not just like mainstream rappers. He's doing rappers that he's interested in. And he built that shit from the ground up. So like that is big ups to him for, without any type of major network backing, building that. And I think that's what's really earned him a spot. And he's probably going to climb. But I think he's at the same spot he was at last year. But he's probably going to climb.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm not even going to attempt this one.
Zias and Bilu, my guys.
Yeah.
Yes, YouTube OGs. Who have now started streaming on YouTube, who, listen, you may not be familiar with them now, but they were named in Drake's lawsuit when he was UMG lawsuit because of their reaction to Not Like Us. Like, they had a viral reaction and he thought it was
too positive.
But that just is a testament to like, nah, like that's a testament to them.
That's so funny.
Them being figures because they, you know, Drake is like, they must have been gotten paid because he saw their reaction.
That's awesome.
John Caramonica, yes.
New York Times. What is Popcast?
He has a podcast on the New York Times. He's like an OG New York Times journalist. Really, really good OG legendary writer. And one of the probably the most traditional journalists on this list. First time on the list. He did a really viral interview with the Clips during the rollout for the New York Times.
Oh, obviously. Then I've definitely seen. That was a great piece.
He's obviously not a like media figure. Like he's not like a personality.
Yeah.
But his work is really strong, and he's one of those traditional journalists.
Sure.
That is pushing the written word and is staying relevant thanks to the written word, which is
tough in today's landscape.
Super, super tough to not rely on the clickbait and to still be able to generate traffic, engagement, conversation off of people reading your shit.
Yeah.
When people are not reading shit, people aren't even reading this list. That's why we're making videos about it.
That is true.
It's wicked out here.
To make a video about your own list.
And, you know, let me also just take the time to shout out all of my writers out there. Andre G, Armand Sadler, Wango, like all of my brothers, Regina Cho, like everyone who's out there still writing shit, because it's hard to make a living just writing shit these days.
Facts.
So this media list is
I want to write more. I would freelance.
Bro, pick
I want to write.
This hip hop media list, I see a lot of, you know, valid criticism from my writer friends who don't like this list because it feels like it's propping up.
Yeah. It's rewarding.
Rewarding figures who shouldn't be reflecting hip hop journalism. And
sure.
I say it's a snapshot. We are not saying these are the best people, but we are platforming these people. We are like,
you're literally saying they're the best people.
We are not. We're saying they have the most power, right?
You're saying you believe in all of their values.
But it's like I hear what my homies say, and I just want it to be known that like people should continue to support that side of it too. Because there wouldn't be any of this without that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though we are moving into an increasingly more video driven media landscape, the written word is still important. We saw it in the Clips rollout, all the essays, all of the interviews that were predominantly written, still like Fraser Tharp, my OG.
Fucking great, you know, pen.
My guy.
He's got a great
Complex
pen.
Alum.
He's at GQ now, right?
Yeah,
he's GQ. Doing great
Complex
work
alum,
over there.
My literal OG. He has generated mad news throughout this entire year. Just off of the writing. He doesn't do no video shit.
Great pen.
Like, he interviewed Future. He interviewed the Clips. He broke the news about the Clips not fucking with Push, not fucking with Travis. Like, he's different. And it shows that you can still have a place in this space as just a writer. So I think that's a super important
thing. While we're on the topic of writers, it's going to be, I'm going to throw a name out here. Not many people. It's like, if you know, you know. But if you come across his work, Jeff Weiss is a writer that I've been deeply obsessed with since I started caring about music journalism. He just put out a book actually about Britney Spears, which is like, I don't care about Britney Spears. It just read his style of writing and how he gets stuff across. He's a big champion of rap. He wrote this incredible pieces on Draco. Mm-hmm. Just a really cool guy too. Predictions for next year.
Ooh, that's a good question. Predictions for next year. I definitely think Gina Views gets on the list. I think just off the pace that her pod with Head is going in, the direction is going in, I think we see more kids who cover underground music getting on the list. There's a kid, my homie. His name's M. Well. He has a show on Our Generation Music called Well, 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 where he interviews a lot of like underground rappers, predominantly underground rappers, independent rappers, but like really unique concept for a show. I think that as the underground increasing grows and those artists become larger and larger who he's already interviewed, his presence will also start to balloon. I think outside of people who will jump on the list, like I said, I already think that Plaque Boy Max is going to be top three, top two in the next year or two. I don't know, man. It's so hard to predict because like this space is like changing every single day.
And it could also, I mean, for what we said earlier, it could also come down to depending on what artist is having a moment that could, depending on the relationship they have with someone, it could catapult them either, you know, up a few pegs or not.
So, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Honest opinion. How did we do?
it's, I mean, it's keep good. It no, I like it. I don't know why I'm so transfixed on this. I don't think act should be two.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at. But like, other than that, like, I don't have many qualms or anything to, you know, I'm not nitpicking over anything. It's fine. It's good.
So outside of the people who will be commenting on this list, who are on the list and feel like they should be higher, do you think that this will be generally agreed upon by the TL?
No, no list is ever agreed upon. There's no list is ever universally loved.
Yeah, that I mean, list. I think a part of this, as a thought exercise that I've realized through doing lists like these over the years, it's like it's meant to challenge you on what you think and make you argue for things that you believe in.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, you're pitting egos against each other. You can always say it's about the content and the power. You're talking to a bunch of people that talk into mics for a living. It's you're basically saying I'm better than you short to a personality. So it's an ego check. I will say, like, understandably, whether or not, you know, justified or not, Elliot has, if anyone's going to blow a gasket or reactivate an Instagram and crash out. 5-17 is fucking, that's a gut punch.
But look, that wasn't rage bait. All right. Let me also set that disclaimer. That was not rage bait just to get a vintage Elliot YN crash out. That's not why we did it. Okay. There was legitimate conversation and deliberation and not everybody was agreeing on it. And we had to, there was a lot of conversation around that, obviously, because he was top five last year and now he is at the second half of the list.
Now he's bottom five.
He's not bottom five, but he's in like the actual, I guess the...
He's in the middle.
The middle.
Low middle.
You know, so, but it wasn't like to, we didn't do that just to get his
12, reaction. 13 would be middle.
But, you know, it's like we all respect what he's done it for the game. And it's like, also, yeah, for the OGs who aren't on this list, because there are definitely some OGs who aren't on this list. It's not like a slight to them or us like disrespecting their legacy. This isn't a legacy list. This is a right now list.
Who was on it last year that's no longer on it?
Sway isn't on the list anymore. I think Funk Flex was on it last year. He's not on it anymore in terms of like the OGs.
Yeah.
And that says nothing to who they are. Like Sway is a stamped all-time legend.
Yeah.
It's just... Again, this year...
It's just Complex telling them they should retire.
No, we're saying this year. It's like in the NBA when you have a new 25 best players list. You know what I mean? It's like you don't put fucking... I don't know. I'm not trying to make a...
Go ahead, shit on an NBA.
I'm not making an NBA comparison for Sway. But it's like we obviously respect the OGs and what they've done to make it to where we can do what we do now.
Of course.
As of right now, he didn't crack the top 25.
Got you. Well, Jordan, this was great. One thing I wanted to ask, what do I Venmo Complex to make the list next year? Just let me know what to send and how much.
We do not take payola.
I can set it up over increments, which would probably be more bribes. Favorable for me.
We do not take under the table.
Wink, wink.
None of that. I'm sorry. you know, I get enough hate on every other video I do. So if you're going to send hate to me for this list, go ahead. But
hate on Jordan below.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, you know, the list is always challenging. It's been challenging every single year. I'm happy with some of the conversations that come from it. Of people who, if you feel unappreciated, a lot of people get their flowers. If people think that they're too low on the list or they should be on the list. And I think that's important. Shout out to my brother, Gabe P on the radar, who was on the list last year, is on the list.
That's who was missing.
He is not on the list this year. The space got more competitive. It wasn't that he fell off. It was that
That's who I was thinking. And he had a good spot last year.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's my brother. And, you know.
Shout out Gabe and Calvin. A&R and Calvin.
Shout out to the whole OTR great team. Crew. It's a group vote. You know what I mean? I'm not going to throw my team under the bus.
There's some haters vote. In that building.
No. Nothing like that. It's just, you know. It's a vote. So
damn.
You know, it's no, anyone who fell off the list, it's obviously no shade. Like, there's no shade on this list. Even though I know motherfuckers are gonna.
Well, I will say, see, because I can say, in your defense, it takes a lot of balls to not only contribute to the list, work on the list, but also sit in front of a camera and talk about it and be susceptible to now more criticism via comments and replies and stuff too. So kudos to you for, you know, stepping in front of the fire.
Listen, man, comes with the territory. Yeah, dog.
I appreciate your work. I'm excited to you know, see obviously how hip hop shapes up in the next year and see how this list changes and whatever. I'll send you that Venmo, and then we can talk after that. Then I will be on the list next year, and then we'll, you know, just subliminal messaging. All right, we just had to make a quick edit, Jordan. I appreciate you, dog. Thank you again for pulling up, and let's next big, you know, music drop or weekend, whatever. Let's, this is great.
You know, we can say we can do this any other weekend. Yeah, man. Yeah,
all right, pause. Me? But all right, yeah. That's too much. That's how I get on the list. All right, all right.
Sick
all right, peace. This is a bonus content episode. Later, y'all.
Peace. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy.